So our first reading, second option for the feast day today, is from the book Revelation, where John sees the Ark of the Covenant in the heavens. He goes on to describe the Ark, a woman clothed in the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. We see great similarities between the description in John, the woman of Revelation, and the manner with which Mary appeared in as Our Lady of Guadalupe in Tepeyac. The sun she stands before, she stands upon the moon, and the mantle of all of the stars of the heavens lays over her head and shoulders. The Aztecs tell us that in the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, she is pregnant. And I say the Aztecs because they are the ones who know the significance of the colors and the imagery and the things that are here, because the image itself is integrated into the culture of the people. The fact that the belt that she wears is up high around her waist tells us that she is pregnant. It would be down low on her hips if she was not. They will also tell us that she is a virgin. They know this because her hair is down. As soon as a woman got married, she had to wear her hair up. And so wearing her hair down, the belt up high, tells us that this is a virgin who is with child. Above her womb, on the mantle that she wears, the garment that she wears, there's all of these beautiful, intricate designs of flowers and rivers and such. But right over her womb, there is the four-petal flower of the pumpkin flower, which is a sign of life for the Aztec people. Below the Great Pyramid, there was a cave that had four chambers in it, like petals of a pumpkin flower. Was a sign of life. And now that sign of life appears over the womb of this pregnant virgin. A pregnant virgin who doesn't say, "Look at me," but has her eyes downcast, even though she is clothed, standing before the gods of the Aztecs, before the sun, on the moon, clothed in the stars. This is a proclamation of the gospel message, one in which the native population could easily read and understand. In the gospel text today, we see this encounter between Mary and Elizabeth. It's easy to say that because of Mary's yes to the invitation of the angel Gabriel to be the mother of Jesus, because of her yes, it's easy to say that her life would never be the same again, right? Right, we can say that. I mean, that's almost like insufficient to say it in that way. It's like Mary's life, never the same again, right? Not only will she be the mother of the Redeemer of the whole entire world, but she will receive you and I as her sons and daughters. She will be invited to expand her heart and motherly care and love to encompass all of those who believe in her son, Jesus. Her life is never the same again. We see that there is a mission, you might say, Mary going to Elizabeth in order to seemingly help her in her pregnancy. She's 6 months along. Mary goes to help, to care for her aged cousin who is pregnant. First time in all of her life, past the age of normal conceiving of a child. And so Mary goes to help her. Mary goes, but she does not go alone. You might look up in the stained glass and say, well, no, Joseph was with her. See, he's there in the background. The one that she bears in her womb is the one I'm pointing to. She comes bearing Jesus. She's a Christopher, you might say, a Christ bearer. She bears in her womb the Savior of the world. In Elizabeth's life and John the Baptist's life is never the same again. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She makes a proclamation. Do you think Elizabeth understood what she was saying in that moment? Like thoroughly understood? Who is it? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? All I know is, Mary, when you greeted me, when you said my name, the child within my womb began leaping for joy. The early church fathers will say that it is this moment when John the Baptist is anointed as the prophet within the womb of his mother Elizabeth. That from his mother's womb, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit for his prophetic action. That's why Jesus can say it last Sunday in the gospel, among women, among men, none has been born that is greater than John the Baptist, right? Because no one was ever anointed with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Mary carries Jesus with her. Now, she does that because she's his mom. But I think the invitation for us that I would like to make for you is that it should be the same for us. How so? That our encounter with Jesus, who he is, not the qualities of the encounter, but who he is, the qualities of who it is that we are encountering, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus the Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, that in our encounter with him, he who is the way, the truth, and the life that comes into our life, that he should leave an indelible mark. A mark upon our life that like leaving his fingerprints on our life. Because our life, because of our encounter with him, should not be the same. To encounter him is to be changed by him. And wherever we go, the marks upon our flesh, the marks upon our mind and our heart and our being of Jesus' presence in our life should bear witness. Wherever we go, the marks of Jesus should be upon us. And I'm not talking about the stigmata. I'm speaking about the profound reality of who Jesus is and that he is a part of your life. To be absolutely honest, we say, well, you know, Mary was Jesus' mom, so of course, wherever she goes, she's going to be, you know, this and that. But what does Jesus say? Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom of heaven, that's you and me. Today, in sacramental signs and wonders, you will receive into your very flesh, into your body, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The same gift that Mary experienced in pregnancy during this 9 months of carrying the Christ within her womb, today, for a matter of moments, as the host breaks down within us, we too will hold within our flesh, the tabernacle of our flesh and blood, we will hold within us Jesus. And how many times have you received communion in your life? Do the math for me. 365 days a year, at least once a day. sometimes twice on Sundays and feast days. 16 years ordained a priest. You figure if wherever I show up, there should be a mark upon me that I have received within my being Jesus Christ so many times. It should be evident. It should be more evident than it is just because I wear funny clothes. My brothers and sisters, every time we encounter Jesus, there is everything in the encounter. Allow him. Allow him to speak truth and wisdom and love and mercy and grace into your life. Allow him to speak it, receive it from him. So that after every time you encounter him, whether in prayer and the Eucharist and the sacraments and the confessional, wherever you encounter him, walk away never the same again. He has the power to transform every aspect of our life. May we bear witness to that power by our very lives. Amen.